This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. A new war-themed film just out in theaters repeats the tired trope of memorializing the heroism of U.S. soldiers over the victims of war. Except that in the case of Megan Levy, a female soldier in Iraq is at the center, along with her relationship to a dog named Rex. The film has been described as a, quote, touching, refreshingly apolitical military drama as a young Marine recruit finds her calling as a dog handler. But how can the Iraq War, where U.S. soldiers claimed the lives of hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians, ever be apolitical? The desire to sanitize war and even see it as a backdrop for feminism and women's empowerment is what really jumps out from Megan Levy. My guest is Stephanie Abraham, writer and media critic. She helped to found the feminist magazine Makeshift, was a founding editor of Loudmouth. Her works have been published in McSweeney's, Al Jazeera, Mizna, and Bitch magazine. She's also the pop culture correspondent and film critic for this show. Welcome back to the program, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
In a minute, we'll play the trailer from the film, but when I watched it, and I confess I didn't watch the actual film, you have seen it, which is why you're on to talk about it, but when I just watched the trailer, it made me nauseous. It made me nauseous to think about what was left out, which is basically everything about the Iraq War, which is relevant, the victims of that war. What was your overall impression of the film?
Well, this is the biggest problem with the film. I mean, it actually is a heartfelt film. You know, it's complicated because for the first time we have a woman director, we have a woman lead, we have women screenwriters.
And when you say for the first time, you mean for the first time for a war film?
Yeah, right. Thank you for that correction. And well, I don't even know that it's the first time, but it's like an emerging thing that there's a whole women, female team. And there's this story of female women's empowerment and this love story between the handler and the dog, as you said, which is kind of a new, unheard of thing. But Iraq really is the backdrop. And so we have Americans caring more for a U.S. Marine canine than for, you know, the hundreds of thousands of and millions of Iraqis who have been displaced. Mm-hmm. So that's really and it's so normalized. I think it's the real problem, which makes me happy that we're talking about it, because I think most Americans will see this film and feel moved by that love story. And yet it's so problematic because of U.S. imperialism that is continuing to wage throughout the Middle East, including in Iraq.
Let's watch the trailer from the film Megan Levy.
Levy! Dog up!
I just don't know why you want to do this.
Yeah, I know you don't.
You don't really connect with people very well.
Just so you know,
running away isn't going to solve anything.
Hang up that phone! Tuck your shirt in!
Found something!
Good boy.
I've been watching this dog all year. It's the most aggressive dog I've ever treated.
Does he really need another break?
It's not like he hasn't earned it.
You're getting a dog. You got this? Think faster.
Yeah, I got this. You think I'm afraid of you? Lay down. Rex, lay down.
Vehicle approaching.
Guns up.
And that is part of a trailer of the new film Megan Levy, set during the Iraq War, where at least in the trailer, not a single Iraqi actually gets screen time, not a single person from the country in which that film is set. Stephanie, was there a single Iraqi in the actual film itself, if not in the trailer?
There were Iraqis on one mission, or maybe two, that she went out into the neighborhood. Most of the thing is on the base or in the U.S. And even the children are, you know, they did something with the camera to kind of make it a little bit dizzy, which invokes fear in the audience. And that even a scene of children playing had that. And we learned that we can't even trust children because especially handling the dog. They want to play with the dog, and her colleague tells her that he's seen, you know, a child blow up and kill a fellow Marine. So there are two Iraqis who have speaking roles. One is at a checkpoint. One is a child, so that's three. And then there's a man whose house they go into on her first mission. So she has the dog, and he smells for weaponry. And they call that a dog handler. So they're in a home of an Iraqi, and it's interesting, they do have an interpreter, which is unusual, as if that makes this wonderful. But anyway, he has a bunch of rugs, and they say, why do you have so many rugs? And he says, we're a religious family, because Muslims use rugs to pray. And then it ends up that, you know, in the end, he's hiding, the dog finds hundreds of AK-47s. And then the next scene, they've stolen one of the rugs and they open it up in the base, and then all the Americans are having a party. And so you feel justified. You feel like, you know, it really subverts, it makes Muslims look like liars, like cheats, like criminals. It's real typical
in this case, the noble ones aren't just the US soldiers, but American dogs. And this particular dog, it almost from that, watching the trailer, you get the impression that dogs were an unsung, you know, a set of unsung heroes in Iraq. And finally, there's a film that actually, you know, shows the role that canines played in furthering U.S. imperialism. In calling this an apolitical film, does it just normalize the idea that there was a U.S. war and that we should all be fine with it, that this is a war that Americans basically take for granted, and even all these years after it began, don't question?
Yes, Sonali, and that is what I feel is most heartbreaking in this film and also most dangerous. So I think there's a new genre of war films emerging wherein U.S. women, usually white women, are shown finding themselves and kind of this personal, you know, fulfillment narrative. And what it does is it subdues U.S. imperialism, or it kind of justifies it. So it's like, yeah, well, you know, it's going to be a war without end, but at least American women are getting something out of it. Look, they even get to fight now. See, we're free. And it's really, really problematic. I think what this film also does is it reflects U.S. mentality that we, you know, we are more likely to love dogs and pets than other human beings, especially when those humans are foreign. And even, you know, a magazine article was recently published where that said that Syrians and Muslims in the West are likely to be treated as dogs, that Syrians in Europe were treated as dogs. So actually in this film, the dog is the hero, and the Arab Muslims are actually less than dogs. It's yeah. Awful.
I'm so glad
it's completely normalized.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up that issue. You know, we seem to have this very bizarre fascination with caring for dogs in this country, right? You can go out and buy pet furniture and you know, gourmet organic treats for your dogs while there's still rampant poverty even in this country. And then in Iraq you have a film, you know, and it's based on a true story, so obviously such a dog existed. So you have a film that upholds the life and the war career of a dog and minimizes the people themselves. And in fact, I want to actually show some of the images for our TV audience of the Iraqis who were killed during, you know, if they won't get it from Megan Levy, they'll get it from Rising Up with Sonali, where we want to show the images of those Iraqis who were killed, the hundreds of thousands that were killed, the devastation that has been wrought on the land of Iraq from which people have not recovered. And the statistics are vague, but they shouldn't be, right? Stephanie, shouldn't we as Americans have at our fingertips the outlines of the numbers of Iraqis that have been killed directly as a result of the U.S. war?
Yes, of course we should, but it's not a mistake that we don't have that information. That was something that the owning class in the U.S. learned after Vietnam, after we saw those images on the 6 o'clock news, and Americans rose up en masse and said, we do not support this, not on our dime and not on our watch. And since then, they've gotten way smarter, and the media, the mainstream media, has certainly colluded in hiding those numbers and hiding, you know, the atrocious acts of war, particularly against women and children, throughout the world, really. And that's another thing. So this is called imperialist feminism. It's a woman's empowerment story that justifies U.S. war. And it could have taken place in Nicaragua. It could have been in Afghanistan. It really could have taken place in, I think the U.S. has operations in something like 92 countries right now. So, and that's tragic. You know, it's a heartfelt story between a woman and a dog. It really is. But using war as a backdrop and using that story to even justify the war is just, it's immoral and it's really wrong.
Now, just ahead of the release of this film, the U.S. Marine Corps released an ad that was specifically targeting women's recruitment into the Marines. And of course, there has been a history of the Marines not allowing women to join, and some women in this country feeling that it was a mark of progress when the Marines did start to allow women. Now, this ad that people can see on our screens as we're talking, this ad specifically shows young girls, young school girls, as being potential recruits for the Marine Corps. And I'm wondering if you think the timing of this ad and the release of this film are purely coincidental, or this is just part of this trend, as you've been saying, of women's empowerment in the, using war as a backdrop and being having seen that in films.
Yeah, well, it's something that the military has been doing for a while, using video to recruit people. This is a new angle. So using it to recruit women and using it to tell this women's empowerment story that has gushed over into Hollywood. So now we're seeing it in both places. You know, the sexism in the Marine Corps is well documented. They've had several scandals even recently, and there's only 7% of the Corps is female. And so, you know, this film, if any in the world, was one to talk about that. And it only barely gave a nod to it. It said, you know, I hope you don't get your panties in a pretzel. This one commanding officer says to her when she arrives in Iraq, because she's not allowed to go on missions. She's only allowed to stay at checkpoints. And she says, no, that'll be fine. So she swallows that, basically gender oppression or discrimination. She can only do one thing and not all things. And just to say, they made it seem, of course, like a bad apple, that this commanding officer had kind of a bad attitude. And so they didn't speak about it at all. And because of that, because there's only 7% women, I think she was the only female dog handler in not only in Iraq, but in Camp Pendleton when she was in San Diego. And so this film barely, even though it's about women and by women, it barely passes the Bechdel test, which we keep going back to, right? Which is the requirement of having two women talk about something other than a man. And it barely passes that because mostly she's not surrounded by women. And when she's talking to her mom, who's the other female character in the story, she's either talking about her dad, her stepdad, or Rex, who's the male dog that she's obsessed with.
Hey, it passes the Beck dog test, right? There we go. Woman
and
good
dog.
Sorry for that terrible pun. Stephanie, where can people read your review of this film? It's going to be published soon?
Yeah, it'll be out this week or next on Bitch Media, which is a feminist response to pop culture. So you can find it at bitchmedia.org.
We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Stephanie, as always, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
Stephanie Abraham is our film critic and pop culture correspondent. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.